like to talk about Inyanei DeYoma of Chanukah once again this week, a whole different perspective than we have seen in the past. I'd like to raise two questions. Question number one, that the Biyam Derech Rav Lugassi raises. As he notes, the Rambam calls the mitzvah of Chanukah a mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'ot, a very precious mitzvah. And a person has to be careful about this, kedei lo odia anes, to publicize the miracle. So on this, the Rav Yecheskel Levenstein asked, Ma chavivut hamyuchedet sheyesh lanu b'neis haChanukah? What is so unique, what is so special about the miracle of Chanukah that we have to go to such great extents to be able to light these candles to publicize the miracle? After all, there have been many miracles in the course of Jewish history. And on these miracles, we don't go to great extents to make sure we're able to publicize those miracles. And the Rambam rarely calls a mitzvah chavivahi ha-ma'od, such a precious mitzvah. Question number one is, what is unique? Umayim kena chavivut ha-gdola, shiru'im anu b'ner Chanukah davka l'farsamo koka. What is so special about the Ner Chanukah that we publicize it? And our second question, which is really our focus question, is the question that the Sefer Hema Yinachamuni, the Talmud Rebbe, raises on our Nusach of the Alanisim, which we say as well in the Aneris Halalu. We thank Hashem, Alanisim, Velapurkan, Velakvuros, and on the strings, Velachuos, on salvation, Velamilchamos, and on the wars that was done to our forefathers by Yamimahem Basman Haseb. So ask the Talmud Rebbe a very fundamental question. Obviously, each phrase in this section here teaches us something unique, something different that we praise Hashem for. What does it mean that we're thanking God for Allah Milchamos, for the wars? If it means that we're thanking God for being victorious in the war, well, is that not included in Allah Porkan Al-Gvuros Val-Chuos? It seems clear that Allah Milchamos for the war is something special, separate. And he asks, Haim Anu Modima Letzam HaMechama, are we going to be thanking God for the war itself? Would not have been better had Hashem not brought a war on us at all. And then we wouldn't have had the whole story, and then wouldn't have been need to thank God for the war, and we would have lived happily ever after. So our question is, what do we mean? And this is a machshava we need to have when saying this tefillah over and over again in our benching and our davening, that we're thanking Hashem for Ba'al HaMilchamos, for the wars. What exactly are we thanking Hashem? I'll just make mention, to see that there are many answers to this question, I'll make mention of one approach, which Rav Shradron, the Leif Shalom, brings down, where he says Ba'al HaMilchamos is for thanking Hashem that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the inspiration to the Maccabim to go out to fight. Because who would think that 13 people would have the nerve to go fight an entire army? The fact that the Maccabim had this nerve, had this energy, had this idea even to go out and fight, that is what we're thanking Hashem for, implanting this idea, this inspiration in their heads. That's Ve'alam Elchamos. But again, I'd like to try to analyze this on two levels and to be able to see perhaps different perspectives, two very different perspectives tonight, on what Chanukah is about. The first perspective is in the Sefer Talmudo Biyado Rav Kram, who looks at the Chanukah miracle very differently than how we have looked at it in the past and how we will look at it even on the second level. But I'd like to present it because I think it in itself gives us pause to reorient ourselves to be able to see the same story from an entirely different perspective. Rav Kram notes, he says, when you take a look at the Alanisim Tfilah, and this is in source number 3 and 4, the focus clearly is on the salvation in the war. And that's what the entire section talks about. It talks about Rafta, Rivam, Damda, Dimnam, Basarta, Giborim, Biyad, Chaloshim. It details to us all the miracles that happened in the war. And it's almost as if an afterthought that we say, Val came bo ba nechel the dvir beitecha, they came to your house, they cleaned it up, and they lit the candles. But even in that section which speaks about, at the end, lighting the candles, there is no mention of the miracle of finding one small oil that lasted 8 days. There is no mention of it. The entire focus is a focus on the war. And it's interesting, he says, that even when we light candles, which is even a more fascinating concept, that even when we light candles, when we speak about in Haneros Halalu, further, the Haneros Halalu again seems to detail for us the whole aspect of the Melchama, of why we're lighting the candles, is because, right, and it describes to us the miracle of the war. And he describes it here in source 4 so beautifully. You look at that paragraph of the Haneru Salalu, the miracle of the oil lasting 8 days isn't found there either. Is it not fascinating that we're talking about lighting the candles? And at the very moment we're talking about lighting the candles, in the paragraph, we make no mention of why we're lighting the candles, that there was a miracle of the oil. So says Rav Kram, the focus of Chanukah is not the lighting of the candles. It's not the focus on the Al Nisi. It's not the focus on Haneros Halalu. The focus is on the Gvuros, on the Chamos, on Shul, and all the miracles that happened, but not of the war. And he stresses even further. He notes in source number 6 that women are obligated in lighting candles, whether they fulfill their obligation to a man, whether they light themselves is a separate issue. But we know women are obligated in lighting Chanukah candles. And the reason is, they were a part of the miracle. So again, he asks this question. He says, if they're part of the miracle, I can understand why they're lighting Chanukah candles the first night to mark the victory of the miracle. But if the lighting of the candles is indeed about the miracle of the oil, so then the women are not part of the lighting per se in the Beis HaMikdash. That's for men, that's for the Kohanim. So if the lighting were just for the Lozecha, for the miracle of the oil, so women should just be obligated on the first day, which is Lozecha of finding the oil and a symbolism of the victory of the war, and the rest of 7 days of Chanukah, women shouldn't be obligated. And he notes further, when you take a look at the halacha of what we're allowed to light any oil, any types of wick. Again, if this were Dumya LaMikdash, if this is supposed to parallel the Beis HaMikdash and the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, so just like in the Beis HaMikdash, it was very specific what oils could be used and what wicks could be used, likewise our lighting should be very specific what oils should be used and what wicks should be used. And because of all these questions, Rav Kram therefore notes that the focus of our Chanukah experience is not the finding of the oil, but rather the Melchamos. Source 7, Lo al Zecher Hashem and Shedalak Shmona Yomim, Hukbad Mo'ed HaChanukah. It's not for the miracle of the candle lighting, the oil lighting, 8 days we have the holiday. Barur Efo Ki Yemei HaChanukah. It's clear that Chanukah, Nikba'u Bimei Hauda'a Al Neis HaNitzocho, HaGadol Shama'atim Shegavram Ala Rabbi, Vatmeim Shegavru Al Zahorim. It is about this great war that 13 people could be victorious over this great army. It's about vanquishing evil. It's about how pure people can be victorious. That is what we are celebrating. And therefore he notes, when the Gemara asks, the Gemara on Shabbos, after discussing the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, do we do 8 to 1, 1 to 8? Then the Gemara asks, "My Chanukah, what is Chanukah?" And the Gemara then details how when they came into the Beis HaMikdash, they only found one little jar of oil, and that jar lasted 8 days. He knows when the Gemara is talking about My Chanukah, they're not asking what is the essence of Chanukah, because the Gemara had already been speaking about Chanukah. It's clear, he says, that the essence of Chanukah is the victory in the war. But rather, ask the Gemara in Source 7, My Chanukah, kimi shibertzonah lomar, imom nam nikbu yimei Chanukah v'zecher l'neitz ha'nisachon ha'gadol. What the Gemara is really asking is, if we understand that Chanukah is in order of the great victory, as we know, madua eifo nikbu shmona yomim, how come it's an 8-day miracle? V'lo histapku b'yom echad bilvad. Hayom Shabo Nitzchua Et Hayavanim. Why isn't it parallel to Purim, which is one day? All right, so the walled cities have a different day, but it's still one day. Why do we have an eight-day holiday and not a one-day holiday? That's the Gemara's question of my Chanukah, what is Chanukah? Which means, what is it about Chanukah that we have an eight-day holiday and not a one-day holiday? To which the Gemara answers, the fact that this oil which was found was sufficient to light one day, and it lit 8 days, itur means Shemaya, it's a sign from heaven to make the days of Hodah, of gratitude for the victory of the war for 8 days. And that is why we indeed have an 8 day holiday. But says Rav Kram, and this is Mamash HaChiddush Gadol, our focus is not the oil. The oil is just telling us for how many days we celebrate. But as the Gemara says, the whole focus of Chanukah is two words, lehodos ulahalo, to give praise, to give thanks to Hashem. And the giving praise and the giving thanks are the entire day, whether the candles are lit, whether the candles are not lit. Through the entire day, we have to thank Hashem. We have to be moda. We have to appreciate the miracle that Hashem did of fighting the war, and the miracles that Hashem does for us constantly now. And it's a miracle of Jewish survival. It's a miracle of the Rabbi Biyan Matim. That's what we're celebrating on Chanukah. Ah, why is the celebration 8 days, not one day? That is the added dimension, the added miracle of the Neis Pach Shemen, is in order to tell us that Hashem wanted us to keep this holiday for this amount of time. And this is what we say on the Al HaNisim in source number 11, Ula'amcha Yisrael asita tshuva gedola ufurkan, and to your Jewish people you did this great salvation, kehayom hazeh, like this day, like the first day in which we are victorious. And that is why, mimele v'kavu shvonav simei Chanukah elu, lahodos ulahalel, not for one day, but for 8 days that we give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the obvious question we have to raise on this idea of Rav Kram is, on Tamudo B'yado, 8 days to give thankfulness for the Milchama, for the war, what was so special? What is so unique? What message can we take out of this war that it becomes an eternal message that we're giving God thanks for 8 days? So clearly, according to Rav Kram, Vala Milchamos on the war is the whole focus of what Chanukah is about. We're thanking Hashem for the victory of the war. And this is why we specify it and we single it out, because this is what the whole aspect of Chanukah is about. But what is so unique about this war? What is so special? So let's try to take this idea a little bit further, a little bit deeper. Rav Wolfson in Emunati Techa notes the following. He says in source number 12, the power of the war is one concept, and that is the Mesiras Nefesh, the ability of the Jewish people, of the Hashmonaim, to put their lives on their line in order to stand up for their spiritual values. And that, he says, is what Ve'ala Melchamos is about. We're thanking Hashem for the ability that we had, the Mesiras Nefesh. We're pointing out to ourselves the war was a reflection of the Mesiras Nefesh, of Vor Yadu, V'Lilchom Al Zeh, that Judaism is so precious to us that we're ready to go fight for Judaism. When we say in the Al HaNisim V'Al Milchamos, what are we thanking Hashem for? We're thanking Hashem, we're recognizing that we have a system, we have a religion that is so special, that is so incredible, that the Jews are ready to go to all odds, to go to all extents, to be Moser Nefesh, to give literally of their lives for the sake of God. And he says, this is very much the aspect of Mashiach. We know that one of the things that Mashiach is going to do, the Rambam, in the fifth chapter of Hilchos Melachim, speaks about, that he's going to be Lochei Melchamos Hashem. To fight in the war of God is a characteristic of Mashiach. It's a characteristic of salvation. It's a characteristic of someone who has this very strong connection to God. But he goes one step deeper. He says, this mesiras nefesh, this ability to give of themselves, which is a bechina, an aspect of Melech HaMashiach, meant that their mesiras nefesh in the melchama brought with it a sense, a taste of the time of Mashiach as well. When they act in this capacity of Mashiach-like, of going out to fight God's wars, so Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol gave them some aspects of Yemos HaMashiach in their war. And we know the one of the miracles in the times of Mashiach is going to be, and this is a famous question, you know, how we know the Mashiach is supposed to come by year 6000, and we know we're at the end of the time, but we're not quite there yet, so we have a couple of hundred years to go. Well, how are we going to manage those couple of hundred years? So this idea of that one day could be a whole year. And that is the idea of Mashiach, where time runs much faster. As this week's parasha, Miketz Shnatayim Yamim. Shnatayim Yamim is really 2 years, but 2 years is referred to as 2 days. Time is on a whole different component. In the time right before Mashiach, we're going to see this as well, that how whatever this may mean, that a year is going to be really a day, and time is going to be moving much faster. And we know this, that just parenthetically, Rabbi Kaplan speaks about this in his essays on Mashiach, that we know the Mashiach is coming when time is moving much faster and things take much less time to accomplish. So we see this by, you know, jet planes going across the earth and the amount in the internet now of seconds that the computer age and faxes, you know, beforehand you had to deliver a piece of paper and mail. Who has mail now? Email, faxes. It's all the time Mashiach, when time has a completely different dimension. You told somebody 100 years ago that you could send a message to somebody else, a written message, not even a phone message, and they would get it seconds later. They would say, you're crazy. No, we're living in a whole dimension where time has a whole different understanding to it. And he says that was the aspect by the Chashmonaim. When they lit the menorah, that which was supposed to light for one day was able to light for 8 days. And in a certain way, he describes it, and he says that Hanukkah, in Source 14, Ma'aya neis b'layla rishon, kefi lefi chazal lo hayu rak layla rishon v'lo yoter, ki nit'arech hazman, v'chola Hanukkah haya v'yom echad, v'anagazu shaltav v'ed amikdash. You know, we have the idea by Rosh Hashanah of Yom HaRichta, right? The first day, the second day, or one long day. He says to a certain degree, that was Hanukkah. Hanukkah is really one day. Hanukkah is the day we lit the oil. But in the Beit HaMikdash, in the times of pre-Mashiach, in the times of the taste of Mashiach then, is that time takes on a whole different dimension. So that which is supposed to last for a couple of hours lasts 8 days, because 8 days can somehow fit into one day. And 8 days and one day are really one day. Ah, we understand it as 8 days, but on some conceptual level, the eight and the one are really one. Which goes back, really, to what Rav Kram is saying, that it's the one day of the Nitzachon, of the miracle on the war. But we elongate it. We separate it into 8 days, because that is how long this one day really took place in terms of the miracle of the oil. In simple English, says the Rav Wilson, he says, Ubechanukah, what do we learn from this? What is Val Melchamos? What does it mean that we're in a whole different aspect of time? Ubechanukah hazman litkasher imakohanim atzadikim vachasidim. Chanukah, we have to tap into the energy of these individuals. Ulekabel mesiras nefesh al atzmenu, and to take upon ourselves our ability to be moser nefesh luchom avor kiyum haTorah mitzvos, and to be able to fight for our Torah and mitzvos. What is this about? So let's understand what we've seen till now. Let's take this one step deeper, and then we'll move into the second level. Chanukah is about the war. It's about appreciating the war, because the war is the reflection of our mesiras nefesh, how we give of ourselves totally over to God. How there's no part of self here. It's all about fighting for the will of God, for the sake of God. That's what Chanukah is about. And when we enter into that arena, we enter into Bechinas of Yimos HaMashiach, where time takes on a different dimension, and 8 days in one day really come into one. Miket Shnatayim Yamim, 2 years is 2 days. Our job in Chanukah is to fight wars. Our job in Chanukah is to have that Mesiris Nefesh, is to have that Mesiris Nefesh, that ability to give of ourselves completely. It's the ability to be able to fight, but totally, for the sake of Hashem. Ah, you'll ask me, what does that mean for me practically? Do I fight in any way? Do I give of myself in any way for God? I mean, okay, so what does this mean? How am I Mesiris Nefesh, right? We're not like a Dante Quixote, La Havdela Pavdelos, with the windmill. What's our fight? What's our war? So my friends, all of us have a very big war to fight. And Chanukah is the time to focus in al ha-milchamos, on the war, to be able to be Mosar Nefesh ourselves for this great battle. What is this battle? It's a battle we've spoken about in the past, and it's such a fundamental battle of Chanukah that we all need to fight. Rav Pinkus on Chanukah. Halekach, source 10, Oto alenu lomod mineis Chanukah hi, ki im adam rotze bechol moldo bekochol legaresh et achoshech. We all have the ability in our lives to vanquish the darkness. Lo tochoshech hasharir ba'olam hazeh. There are many aspects of what does it mean to fight darkness. Akishit nidbonen b'naseh b'tochenu. But you want to know one of the greatest and biggest darknesses there is? Nidmeh ki ha-choshech ha-gadol b'yoter hi mechasheves ha-katnu. Mechasheves ha-katnu. It's realizing and our a view of ourselves of how small we are. Hadavar ha-mafchid b'yoter. The most frightening thing is that a person doesn't realize how great they are. That we live in immense darkness. We don't know our potential. We don't know our power. We don't know to what extent we can develop and grow. Hu chash v'tocho ki kishem sheino yachol latzliach linachem neged tankim, kachem v'efsheru laso gadol b'Yisrael. We believe that just like we can't fight against great tanks, we can't grow into great heights in our religious observance. We do not give ourselves enough credit into what we can achieve. You want to know, my friends, what the Baal HaMilchamos is about? You want to know why we make such a big deal about the nace, the miracle of the war? It's because the miracle is teaching us something fundamental about our lives. A little bit of oil, a small group of people are able to be successful. We sell ourselves short. We reach a certain level in life and said, Adka, this is my limit. This is my capacity. And we know scientists have said this, that we use 8%, 10% of our brains. My friends, do you realize how scary that is? Do you realize how we don't even tap into who we are? Do you realize how much potential we can potentially have that can change our world and the worlds around us, and we never use them? You want to know what Gehenna is, my friends? Gehenna is when God is going to show us who we could be, who we should have been, and we weren't. The chasm between the light of our lives and the darkness of potential. Being Moser Nefesh means, yeah, we have to push ourselves. We have to extend ourselves. We have to be able to look into ourselves and see, how can I develop myself? That doesn't mean pushing myself over the brink with a nervous breakdown. It means being able in doing what I am doing to do it with the fullest part of self, with all the capabilities that I have in myself, and not run on automatic pilot, and not do things just to be Yotzei Zayin, but to really put myself into it, and to be able to get to know myself and what my capabilities are. And Kasher Yiske Adam Lavinkach, when a person is able to see this at the end of 17, then al lo listapeh by ivanatanyan bovat alav latchil miyad bavodat hamaseh. When you recognize how much we have within us, when you recognize what we can achieve, then we got to begin to build. And this is the whole nes of Hanukkah. It's muat machzik et tamerubah. That something small can be able to hold something great. Whether it's the Beis HaMikdash, who was a small place compared to all the people, who were able to hold all the people, the small amount of oil that was able to hold 8 days worth, a small group of army that was able to vanquish a larger group, or a small me who's able to hold a tremendous potential. This is Kiner Elokim Nishmas Adam in 19. Vadam Tuna Nikudat Or Hause Oto Bilti Mugbal. Our godly soul makes us unlimited. We can be great if we just push ourselves. Chanukah 20, Huazman Lishbor Surat Chayim Zo. Adam Eino Mugbal. Don't limit yourself. Every minute we can push ourselves. That even the small things are great. And that is the Milchamos. That is the war of Hanukkah. And this, Rav Freifeld so says so beautifully in Search of Greatness in English, where he points out that when you take a look at the wisdoms of the world, you're right, perhaps you are limited, right? If you're not born as a rocket scientist, you're going to be limited on how much you can accomplish. But that is not the case, 21, the asterisk with Torah wisdom. In Torah wisdom is always a phenomena of the Hanukkah miracle. In Torah wisdom, success of the seeker does not depend on his natural skills and talents. The key to his success is not locked up in his brain. That's not where it is. The key of our success in learning, the key of our success in our entire Avodas Hashem, as Rabbeinu Bachya says, that the Chochmah of Torah is a very exalted wisdom that was brought down to the world and expressed in the form of Torah. We may think that we're absorbing Torah through our rational faculties. That's the least part of it. The true nature of the Chochmah of Torah is that Araisa and Kuchavrichu Chadu, the Torah and the Almighty, are one. We absorb the wisdom by connecting to the source rather than by simply figuring it out. And this is what we have to understand. A sincere Jew, the asterisk in 22, can learn Torah with one small jug of oil. He can light up the entire shas with that amount of oil. If he just has the rutzo, the power, the desire, he will be successful. That's the mesiras nefesh we need. Nefesh, we know, is mesiras rutzo. We have to be ready to give our desire to connect with God, to be able to recognize that I'm living in a godly world, and it's up to me to be able to be the greatest Eved Hashem, servant of Hashem, that I can be. And if I don't limit my vistas, and I don't limit myself, then it is sky's the limit on what I can accomplish. When we look at those Hanukkah candles, when we introspect by those Hanukkah candles, we have to see the reflection of our own neshama, of our own soul, and be able to see the way the flame goes upward and the power we have to go upward and not to limit ourselves in the narrow confines of selves. HaTorah Kedosha Shinidana Lona Meda Kaddish Baruch Hu, says Rav Pinkus in 24. The Torah is the aspect of light, and therefore we're able to take this light and move to greater and greater heights. That, my friends, is level number one of what Valim HaChamos is about. It's about the wars that we need to fight in our lives. The wars of never being full of despair. The wars of pushing ourselves above and beyond. The wars of finding ourselves in the Mesiras Nefesh, giving of our Ratzo, to try to be the best Eved Hashem, the best servant of Hashem that we can be. Having said that, I want to take a look at a second dimension, which is very, very deep, very powerful, on what Hanukkah is all about, what these milchamos are all about, these wars are all about, and what the miracle of the light is all about. This is based on, again, the Biyam Derech, primarily based on Rav Chasko Levenstein's ideas. We know, he says, and this is in 26, that there are two ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. There is Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha, it's open, miraculous miracles. And then there are Tkufos, there are periods of Choshech VeHester, there are periods of darkness. There are periods when we're all closed up in our Kedusha. And he says, in these periods of time, we really feel like nothing is going well. Chaser Yitzivut Bavadat Hashem, we lack any stability in our service of God. Our negative midos come to the fore, whether it's anger, whether it's sadness, whether it's a lack of amunah. Hatzfilot lo lei varegesh. In these times of darkness, we pray, but without concentration. Atshadam choshev mani oseb olam. To the point a person may say, what am I doing in this world? Velo shum safek etzlo. And in his mind, shineu ata lo memalei tafkido klal. I'm not really accomplishing anything. I'm feeling so stuck. Vein la Hashem shum chafetz bo. And because I'm stuck, right, we then say, well, God has no need for me either. Venitmelo, and it seems to him, kashem shehu miyuash matzvo, it's projection. Just like he feels that he's given up on himself, he feels that Hashem has given up on him. That's a different type of relationship with God. There are times when things are going great, and then there are times of darkness. There's time of yeush. There's a time of despair. There's a time of complete darkness. But, 27, Ulam Ritzon V'Chafetz Hashem, but God wants us to know, Shibitzman Hester, in the time of darkness, a person should realize, and a person should try to reveal, at Hashgachato Yitbarach Elav, how Hashem is really with him at this particular time. It's like the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that Hashem is Meitzitz Min HaCharochim, that Hashem is peeking from the lattice works. He's Mashkiach Min HaChalonos, Meitzitz Min HaCharochim. And a person during the times of darkness has to realize that Hashem has not left him, but that Hashem is very much there. We just have to reveal the godliness. It's like in Egypt, that in this darkness and despair, we were able to see the hand of God. It's the imagery he speaks about on the top left-hand side of this page of Yechezkel HaNavi being in Bavel. And the Niftechu HaShemayim, the heavens opened up, and over again, Ve'er'eh, Ve'er'eh, and I see, and I see. That's the Milah Mancha, the repetitive word in this section. God shows him so many beautiful visions, because even when you're in Bavel, even when you're in Golos, even when you're surrounded by this darkness, you're able to see the vision of godliness. You're able, and that's our struggle and challenge, to be able to see the hand of God even here. And recognize, v'hu asher ro'im anu hayach, the asterisk in 29, l'olam mishutefet midas harachvim mimidas hadin. Even in the times of din, even in the times of judgment, our challenge is to be able to see those rays of light, the silver linings, to be able to see the rachamim, the kindness within the darkness. And recognize that Hashem never has pure din without some type of rachamim. He says that sometimes there are some children that are very difficult to raise, but in the same family, there'll be children that'll be easier to raise. There'll be times there where parnasa will be very difficult, but other areas will come easily. There's always within the din, within the strict judgment, there's always some type of goodness. I just met a principal on this trip who said, we had a really tough year with girls one year, but our financial situation was very good. And then the next year, the girls were great. The financial situation wasn't so good. Right? In the din, in the strictness, you always have to find that there's some type of rachamim, there's some type of goodness. And that is the idea that David HaMelech speaks about in 30. Gam ki eshev b'choshech. Even when I'm sitting in darkness, our challenges, Hashem orli, that I have to find the light that is surrounding me. And that says Rav Chaskel Levenstein 31 and 32. It's what the Nes of the Ner Chanukah is about, that indeed it's a focus, unlike what we saw earlier, is the focus, according to him, according to many people, of Chanukah. And really both are true, Elu ve'Elu. And that is, it's not enough to have the victory over the war, but you have to feel that Hashem's presence is within you. It was not enough to have the geula from Mitzrayim, avelteiti v'itzalti v'lakavti, to redeem us from Egypt. You need to have that you become God's nation. You need to have not only the avelteiti v'itzalti v'galti, you have to v'lakavti v'la'am, you have to be taken as God's people. You have to have a Mamon Har Sinai, you have to have a Mishkan. As the Ramban notes in Zakdama to say for Shemot, the whole book is Golos and Geula, the exile and the redemption. That's the whole package. And it ends with a cloud on Mount Sinai, on the Mishkan rather. That is the focus. And where do you see that God is with us, even in the darkness, even in the Golos, even in the Gzeros, even in the decrees? It was by the fire staying lit for those 8 days. That was the symbolism of Shechina, Sharab Yisrael, that in the darkness, Hashem is found. And that is what we are celebrating. Levasram, double underline in 32, Shechina mitratze lishkol mitocham kibatchila, that even in the darkness, the light is a symbolism of finding God in the difficult times, that God is indeed among us. And that is why we light in an area we normally don't light so low, to say that no matter where we are, that we've reached the lowest of lows, so we can't do Aliyah L'Regel, we can't come up to God. Don't worry. Chanukah is the time that God comes down to us. No matter where we are at in life, no matter how spiritually devoid we feel, no matter how much darkness we feel we're enveloped within, the light of Chanukah is the light of clarity, the light of creation, which says our challenge is to be able to find the godly light in our life, to be able to feel the chesed, the rachamim, the kindness, the goodness, to be able to feel Hashem's presence. And this is our challenge. And this is the challenge that the Lekach V'Alibuv notes in Source 25. When we say the Shema Yisrael, we say Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, which is Midas HaRachamim, kindness, Elokeinu, Midas HaDin, strict justice. Hashem Echad is really coming from a place of kindness. That everything that God does has within it, even in the darkness, light. But you know what, my friends? We close our eyes when we say the Shema, because oftentimes we can't see it. It has to be something that we deeply believe, that the Hashem and the Elokeinu are the Hashem Echad. How then can we be successful in this? So explain to Lekach V'Alibuv based on the Sfas Emes. He says in 36a, Dikar midas habitachon sarich liyo be'eit sholech tov l'adam. You want to know when to work on your bitachon? You want to know when to strengthen your relationship with God? It's not when things are going difficult. It's when things are going good. When things are going, you know, like life, everything's going more or less along the plan that you envision your life to be. You have the shefa, you have the bounty, things are missing from you. That's the time to realize that Hashem is in charge. That's the time to really concretize within us that Hashem is running the show. So that if and when, God forbid, there is a lack, and when things are taken away, and the light is suddenly removed or slowly removed, and we're enveloped in darkness, that strength that we had during the good times will help a person during the more challenging times. Our jobs in Chanukah, Bimei Chanukah, Shehem Yuchadim L'midas Hod, in 39, Hainu Lavo Liyo Bichlal Hamodim L'Hashem. And this is the time to work on Re'iyas Tov, the Midah of Ayin Tova, to look at the Neros, the candles, and to be able to acquire in Ayin Tova a good eye, which means L'Rot HaTov Shel Kodesh HaBaruch Hu V'L'Rot HaTov Shel B'nei Yisrael, to be able to see the goodness in all that Hashem does with us and in the goodness in our relationships with every person. Staring at the candles is about finding the light. It's about finding the rachamim, finding the kindness, finding the goodness in our lives. And says the Biyam Derech in 40, V'zot Lada, Shabachira Biyad Hadam, The choice is in our hands. Kishinimsahu b'matzavim chashuchim, when we're found in darkness, to either see Hashem, who's meitzitz alav, who is, you know, looking at him from those cracks and being able to look for God, or to be able to completely ignore God, to have yeyosh. We have the choice in how we handle any situation in life. The candles are the candles of strength to give us the bechira, the choice, in every situation to see the Hashem Echad, the Rachamim, the goodness, to see in the darkness the light. It brings to mind a friend of mine who spoke this past year at the Yahrzeit, the first Yahrzeit of her mother, who died at a relatively young age, in her early 60s. And she described how she found, after her mother died, a sheet of paper by her mother's bed. And it had three words on top of the page and three words on the bottom of the page. And those six words helped her understand how her mother was able to go through her illness and her challenges with such emuna, with such faith. And I'd like to share these six words with you in this person's memory, so it should be a schus for her. Yehudis Bas Elchanan. The three words on top were anger, bitterness, sarcasm. Again, anger, bitterness, sarcasm. And the three words on the bottom of the page were thankfulness, hope, emuna. Again, thankfulness, hope, and emuna. My friends, that page, those six words, is really the bechira, the choice of all of us in whatever life situation are we in. What do we choose? In any situation, it doesn't have to be, God forbid, a deadly illness. It could be the frustrations of life. Do I get angry? Do I get bitter? Am I sarcastic? Or do I look for the good? L'hodos l'cha, which is Hanukkah is about. Do I see the hope, the light, the candle, the emuna, which is what Hanukkah is about? My friends, that is solely in our hands. And it's a decision that we make, says the Be'am Derech, on every situation that we're found in life. 41, the asterisk. V'zu tzricha shedei emuna kol yachid v'yachid. This is our faith for every individual. And Hashem doesn't force us into any mindset. It's up to us to be able to have the proper perspective. If we go back to this sefer that we've quoted many times, I'm sure many of you have read. Someone just recently picked up the book in my house and called me up and said, you know, borrowed it while I was away, and called me up when I came back and said, this was one of the most incredible books I ever read. Rabbi Shaul Rosenblatt, Finding Light in Darkness, right? It's again the story about his young wife of 30 who died of cancer, leaving four little children. And he notes here in 42, I often find that people are great at seeing where God is not in our lives, but we are not so great at seeing just where he is. When things go wrong, we usually ask, where was God? Why did he allow this to happen to us? Rarely, however, when things go right, do we give him the credit for working things out. How often will we give God the credit when a business deal goes well, or when we find what we're looking for in the first shop we enter, or even when we easily find a parking space? It's only fair that if God is going to take the rap when problems arise, he should also get the credit when things go well. He's either in control or not. It can't be that he's in control when things go wrong, but we're in control when they go right. It stands to reason that if we have a distorted and unfair picture of God's involvement in our lives, we will have difficulty putting into perspective that which causes its pain. It's like a parent-child relationship. The extent in which a child feels confident in his parent's love is the extent to which he can be accepting of his rebuke. And this is true of our relationship with God. We need to know that God is on our side if we are to relate to him properly during the difficult times. And the time to feel that God is on our side is when things are good. If we work on that feeling during the good times, we'll have a quote-unquote friend during the hard times. But if we fail to feel God's love when all is going our way, we'll certainly not feel it when we go through pain. And he brings down that Rav Weinberg from Eishet Torah gave him a suggestion, which he said he implemented at his Shabbos table on Friday night, where every child went around, and he said clearly a treat always helps, to go over what Hashgacha Pratis, what clearly you see God's hand stories in one's life. And this is training us to be able to see the light in the darkness, to be able to see even in a difficult day how the goodness is there. That is up to us. You know, it brings to mind a children's book that we have somewhere in our children's library. It's a very fascinating book. The book goes through like the first 20 pages of a boy waking up on a Wednesday morning and how everything goes wrong, right? It's raining and he gets wet and the shower water is cold. I mean, everything. He doesn't find his pajamas, whatever it was. And then the next 20 pages is the same boy waking up in the same life situation and how he's able to look at it in the most positive spin. Wow, what a wonderful cold shower. You know, sometimes it's good to feel whatever it was. And he's able to see the same situation in a positive light. My friends, we are very much that boy. Are we going to open to the first 20 pages or the last 20 pages? Are we going to be able to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu or not? And this is what Hanukkah is about. Let's take this idea a little bit deeper, my friends. There's a very beautiful idea that the Masechah Tanis, Megillas Tanis, says the following. Tana Rabbanan and Shabbat Siv Gimel Amud Beis. Mi katav Megillah Tanit? Who wrote this Megillas Tanis? When we're supposed to fast? So Amru Hananya ben Chizkia v'siyato shayu mechavvim et asaros. They wrote this because they love. It was great. It was endearing to them, the troubles. What does it mean, shayu mechavvim et asaros? So the Marsha here explains that the tzaros themselves were beneficial. Not like Rashi who says we thank God for getting out of the troubles, that no, there's something special about going through the darkness itself. That it's not only the light and the goodness that we see God, but it's specifically in the challenges and in the troubles of life that we're also able to grow and to a certain extent to even grow on a stronger and greater level than when it's all light. And this is the idea that Rav Pinkus brings down, very, very powerful idea. He says, the Pasuk tells us in Malachim Aleph, as Amar 45 Lishlamo, Hashem Amar Lishkon Barafel, Hashem dwells in the darkness. And you find this by Mamad Har Sinai, that the Chazal described there were three mechitzos. There were three, like, divisions. There was Choshech, Anan, and Arafel. This darkness, and even greater darkness, that Hashem came down on the mountain. What is this all about? God dwells in darkness. God comes down in the darkness. And any time we find God's presence coming down and in the Chumash, it's through a cloud. What is this all about? So he notes, he says, when we talk about a mechitza, so we have a wrong perspective. We think a mechitza means to separate, right? You have a mechitza in the shul, we separate the woman from the man. No, mechitza means to be able to join. If we didn't have a mechitza, the woman couldn't come to shul. The mechitza allows the woman to enter into the shul. The mechitza by Mamad Har Sinai, of all of these mechitzas, these barriers of darkness, allowed Hashem to come down to this world. And Rav Pinkus explains very powerfully that Hashem's presence is such great light that it would overrule the world. It would be too powerful or burn the whole world. The only way that Hashem is able to come into our world is specifically through the darkness, specifically through the clouds. It's in this darkness that Hashem is able to come close to us. The Zehu Yisod, says Rav Pinkus in 47, Shalav aleinu ladadoto, shibetel choshech v'tzarot, in the darkness, she mechitzos v'neinu l'kutcha brichu, in the darknesses in our lives, which we look at as the machitza, as a division between us and God, that this problem, the economic problem, a health problem, whatever it is separating me and God? No. Munachat efsharut shel kirva miyuchad le'lav yitbarach. That darkness, that difficulty, in a real sense, like the darkness of Mount Sinai, allows God to come closer. And that's the idea of mechavvim et hatzaros. It's the challenges, it's the darkness in life that instead of distance us from God, has the potential to bring God closer to us, because this is the medium of closeness. It's specifically in the darkness that we're able to find the light. Ki lo yitachen lakachat chefet sha'or. You can't have a candle, you can't have light. Ela b'choshech, but in darkness, because without darkness, you can't find the light. Ki or b'li choshech hayam etzaver et kol ha'olam. And light without darkness would blind the world. It's a very, very powerful idea. But Finkus discusses, as well as others, when we are given too much goodness, when things are just all totally good, so we come to a level of being blinded that we don't even realize our place in relationship with God. It's somehow through the challenges, it's through the difficulties, it's through the darkness that we're able to appreciate the light. We light Hanukkah candles at the time of darkness, because in this envelopment of darkness, it's the time where God can come down in the light, because it's the darkness itself which is really the medium that allows us this closeness and appreciation of this light. And that, my friends, is what we need to understand when we take a look at Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the time when we were enveloped by decree after decree, it was darkness and more darkness. And we thought this was it. And it's within this darkness that Hashem says, I am really here with you. And the lighting of the Hanukkah candles, why we make such a big deal about it, is the ability to find this light within this darkness. 54, again, Rabbi Rosenblatt, problems in Judaism, far from being something bad, are a sign of spiritual vigor and vibrancy. The more a person moves forward, the more he or she will be faced with challenge and difficulty. This may not sound like much of an incentive to grow spiritually, but that is only if you look at pain as a bad thing. And as I've said before, we'll say again, pain is not our enemy. Distance from God is our enemy. Pain is the means through which we can fight the enemy and win the battle of this world. We can learn not to be frustrated and upset by pain, but rather to embrace it as a friend, which is here to help us fulfill our potential. Then we'll have the ability to deal with the question of, quote unquote, of bad things happening. My friends, on the second level, and then we'll close with a story. Ala milchamos, on the wars, we're thanking Hashem for the wars themselves, because the wars are a gift of God. Because the wars represent the challenges in life. The wars represent the darkness in life. And we have to be cognizant that it's through those wars, it's through those struggles, that we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the closest to us. And it's during those times of darkness we recognize that Hashem is dafka, found in those darkness. That's how He reveals Himself. And our job is to be able to see in this darkness the rachamim, the kindness, that little bit of oil, that little bit of light, that Hashem's presence is here, and that this is a time that we can grow so much closer to Him. Hanukkah is the time in the Jewish calendar year that the Hasidic Sfarim bring down. It's the time of the greatest closeness to Hashem of the entire year, that Hashem comes down to our homes. Hashem comes down, if Rav Meisel speaks about, if in Elul, the king is out in the field, that's great. But if you're in jail, it ain't going to help you to see the king. On Hanukkah, Hashem comes to the jail. Hashem comes down to us who are imprisoned in our own darknesses of life and says, look at your darkness and realize that I'm close to you. Look at the darkness not as a point of separation, but a point of closeness. And in that darkness, you will discover that oil. If you look in that darkness, you will find that one little jug of oil, which is the rays of hope, the rays of light, the rays of thankfulness, the rays of emunah, which allow us to take a look at any situation and be able to feel Hashem's closeness and Hashem's love for us at all times. And my bracha to all of us, and then we'll end with a story, is that the milchamos, the war, should be looked at as our job, Mesiras Nefesh, to work our hardest, to fight, to be the best we can. But my friends, understand that part of our battle is to take a look at the entire battlefront. And that battlefront is not only within us, it's our life situations. And instead of saying, well, my life situation is such that I'm in such dire straits, I'm in such darkness, I'm in such yeush, despair, I can't come close to God. How do you expect me to be Moser Nefesh and fight? No, it's through those darkness, it's through those despair that we can garnish our strength and be able to fight and develop and be able to win the greatest of all battles, the battles of perspective, the battles of Shema, to take our hands off of our eyes and to be able to look at this world and say, yes, there's love, b'chol meldecha, b'chol mido mida, and everything he deals with us, I'm able to see his kindness and his love. Just like to share one Hanukkah story, and I beg apology for Philadelphia, Toronto, and Chicago, whom I shared this story because I was so excited by it when I read it on my trip. But it's a great story, so it's worth hearing again. From Tiva Maadim, Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz, he tells the story, and I think the story encapsulates this idea of distance and nearness. Once an individual who, after the Shoah, after the Holocaust, who married a Jew, decided to raise his children as non-Jews. He had it with Judaism, he had it with God, he's checking out. And he raised his kids as non-Jews, and one day, one of his boys turned 13, and he said to his boy again, 1950s, he said, whatever you want, I'll give you as a birthday present. Let's go, window shopping, whatever you want. So to make a long story short, because the hour is late, they pass by a certain Judaica store, and the boy is drawn to a menorah. And the father clearly tries to get the boy away from that Judaica store, because that's the last place he wants to be. But the boy is adamant, and he wants the father to buy him that menorah, even though the father tries to convince him it is of no value to him. And when they go into the store, the man refuses to sell this menorah. He says it's the symbol of Mesiras Nefesh. A man made it in the ghetto, and it's a symbol of resistance against the enemy. The boy said, I don't care. With the right price, he'll be ready to sell. And the father keeps on upping the price, and he keeps his promise to his son, and he buys his son the menorah, much to his chagrin. He comes home a couple of days later, and he sees that the menorah is lying broken on the floor in his son's room. And he is furious, spending so much money, and he said it was a waste. After he calms down, he says to the son, you know what, let's build it together, right? This is a foreign concept today of rebuilding something that breaks. We usually throw it out and buy a new one, but they had this concept in the old days. And they sit together and they try to glue it back. As they're gluing it back and the father's trying to push in one piece into another, a sheet of paper rolls out. The father reads the paper, falls into a dead faint. They wake him up, he falls into a dead faint again. What was on this paper? The paper was the person who made the menorah writing a description of who he is, his name, his family, the ghetto he lived in, and describing how he's not sure his table is going to be light one night, two nights, 1 year, 2 years. But he asked one request, that whoever should find this menorah after the war should learn Mishnayos in his memory and the memories of his family, and he lists the memories of his family. And the man recognizes that the person who wrote this note, the person who made this menorah, was none other than his own father. And this was the catalyst for this individual to return fully back to Yiddishkeit, a fully observant life for him and his entire family. Because ultimately, it's through the darkness, it's through the brokenness that we can come to great closeness. My friends, we should all be blessed with a lichtig in Chanukah, that in the dark night, we're able to see this light and be able to take the darkness and light to indeed bring us closer to our Father in heaven as well.